Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can listen to us on the radio dial 92.9 FM 680 AM. But you can also stream us not only on the Odyssey app, where it's free to download, free to stream us live anytime. You can even listen on demand with the rewind feature. You can also stream us on TuneIn Radio as well as the iHeartRadio app. But now you can stream us on YouTube, Twitch, and X, the Everything app. So we have a video stream going as well. The producer of the program is George Ruggiero. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
My company, as he is each and every Wednesday, he's the head coach and team director of Team Thad. Follow him on all the socials at Dream Big Herd. He is Coach Herd. Coach, I see you brought Chicago weather back with you. You made it cold. What do you have to say for yourself?
Man, happy hump day. Last night, you might not believe this. I told George this off air. 40 in Memphis and 30 feels worse than Chicago because they used to it. 40 felt good up there. When I got off the plane here, I was like, oh, my. Like, are we lower than 40 now or are we around 42? I didn't look at the weather channel, but it just felt
I think you're – no, you're – I mean
– sun's out. We're in the 50s now, boys.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was this morning it was like 41 on the drive in, and when I stepped outside, I was like, oh, my God, I'm already miserable.
And that's for some reason it's crazy. That's how you – even if you Google this or chat GPT, I said, is 40 cold? Because I know it was going to Chicago. They said, what city? They said in Chicago, 40 is not considered cold. But in Memphis or South Southern cities, that's considered extremely cold.
No, you're right. And I've always wondered, though, is it because were you downtown? Because, like, I've always wondered, like, is it the size of the buildings that, like, make it feel – and there's obviously, like – a lot of lights, like there's a lot of energy being wasted. So because I do agree with you, in general, when it's 40 here, it feels a lot cooler. But I've always wondered, like, usually because when it's cold here, we've usually had a cold front, and so like the north wind is in, and the north wind is always colder. So like, I don't know, but I do agree with you. I would still never live there, but I do agree that 40 here does feel colder than anywhere else.
For sure. You were saying you would never live in Chicago, right?
Too cold.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't, but this is what I will say.
I'm honestly not sure you can – I'm not sure I can go north of here. St. Louis might be a stretch.
Yeah, because they get a lot of
– Yeah.
Missouri is crazy. Missouri, Kentucky actually get some, like – how Memphis snow, like, every other year. We've been snowing every year the last 3 years, but we had 1 year that it didn't snow. Kentucky, Missouri, the states right up here, it's snow every year there. Like really cold, and it takes on the Midwest. But I would say this about Chicago, Jeffrey and George and listeners. Although I love Memphis and I'm never trying to make no city better than Memphis, man, Chicago is beautiful right now. When I say when you're walking downtown, you feel like you're in a Christmas movie. Everything is lit up. I mean, Christmas spirit, light. I mean, everywhere you go, and everybody is walking the street. So I don't know if it's the energy or what there, or just because of Michigan Ave and a lot of spots there, you have to be walking outside to get there. There's no way you can park anywhere. It's just a 40 don't feel cold, and it's a extremely good vibe right now out there.
I wonder how much of it is just, honestly, Home Alone and Christmas Vacation. Like, you know, like those are like Christmas movies that are always on. They're set in Chicago. And but you are right. Like, Chicago does get in the spirit.
Like, no, for real, Jeffrey. Yeah.
All right. Did you have a good trip?
Yeah, it was good. Just went with my daughter a couple of days. She was out of school. I told you what happened. The Miami flights got a little out the budget I wanted to do, and Chicago was sitting there. So we went.
What'd you eat?
Now, that's the thing I would say this, too. I only love Southern food, but as we know, Chicago has a lot of people there from, like, Memphis and Mississippi, from how back in the days were. Man, we went to Chicago got good food. We went to, what's the hot dog spot, Portillo's or something like that?
You got Portillo's, I think, right? I think it's with a T.
Yeah, Portillo's.
Yeah.
Portillo's. So that was the first stop people were telling me to go to. That was the hot dogs and the, they known for hot dogs, burgers, and they have an Italian meat sub.
They also have, like, milkshakes that are, like, 3,500 calories.
It's like cookout.
Yes.
Correct, but they are awesome.
Awesome. And so then we went to a couple deep dish spots, Lou
Malnati's.
Yes, that and another one. Went up to Navy Pier.
Yeah.
Went to some spots. I was just living. My daughter, 9, so I'm teaching her this is the Chicago dog. It comes with a lot. I don't eat all of that stuff it came on it. And for some reason, am I wrong, George? I know you say you go to Chicago, too. I was expecting more like in New York, everybody on the street cooking.
There's
still a little bit.
It's not as much like that. Like, you're not going to just walk down any street during the summer.
It's not really like that. Like, because at first I always wondered. Like, obviously it gets cold in New York, but it's, I don't know. I feel like Chicago, I always think of it as colder, but like, no, it is not.
It's the wind.
They don't really have the. I've heard it's the windy city.
Yeah,
you don't see the. I don't know, what do you call it? Like it's like a basket with a lid.
Yeah, you're not getting any dirty water dogs.
Yeah, dirty water dogs, or like the steak sandwiches with the peppers that they'll like cook out, like all that. But no, you don't. And
those are phenomenal, too.
The pizza stand, you don't really get any of that, no.
No, you don't. It's like they're a little bit more bougie, because I asked them, they said, we don't do that when it's cold out. So I kind of respect New York a little more, because New York is going to be food stuff. If you're in Manhattan, you're going to be, every corner is going to have someone. It could be 20 degrees. People are out there. And New York, I think, is a little colder, Jeffrey. It's just Chicago is more windier. So I might not like hot dogs as good as I thought, because it tastes more like boiled hot dogs. And I was expecting, even though they were good.
Yeah, you wanted the grilled.
Yes, either grilled, or maybe this is going to sound crazy, Jeffrey, because I might be taking 3 steps down. Y'all, let me know if I'm wrong. But I even like the rotisserie hot dogs that like at concessions.
No, yeah, I got no problem with that. A 7-Eleven hot dog, if you're in the – listen, you have to, like, put your shame aside. But there's a moment in time when a 7-Eleven hot dog hits the spot. Totally
you
agree.
You go to, like, a Raceway or a Quick Trip. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Woo.
Hey, they pretty good. 7-Eleven, I'm going to be real with you. I'm glad when I see one, because they're not in Memphis or whatever. And then, Jeffrey, this is another thing about coaching basketball. I hope my kid's not listening. You know, we're grown men, but you can't really eat like coaches eating a glizzy. You know, these kids are so crazy. Like, they call hot dogs glizzies now and all this crazy stuff. I remember in our days, you could just go eat a good hot dog, and you were just a man eating a hot dog, and it was okay.
No, I mean, and then there's like the other, I always love when you get the blowhard. It's like, you know what is in a hot dog? It's like, yeah, I do, but I try not to think about it. Now I am thinking about it, so please shut up. I just enjoy it. Like, moving on. Like, stop really. You want me to sit here and criticize everything that you're eating here?
Stop,
like,
ruining a good thing for me.
Yeah, like, I made the personal decision. I knew what I was going into, and now I'm just trying to not think about it, but you won't relentlessly stop. So, yes, thank you.
It is hard being a man and an adult in 2025. When we were teenagers, you could go eat a hot dog. You can go eat an ice cream cone. Now it's like...
It's a decision. It's like, do I want to pay the price for this? And we're not talking about spending the money. We're talking about, like, everything that goes with it. All right, so I was thinking about this because I feel like you're the right person to talk about it. Let's say generic college, let's say power job, power to good job. Would you rather have, if you're the AD, mm-hmm. would you rather have great roster with a good coach or a great coach with a good roster?
If I was like, what, a Power Five school, you as much as any school.
Let's say, if we're talking basketball, let's say Power will include Big East as well.
Yeah.
Should we include the Mountain West, even though we know how I feel about the Mountain West?
Mountain West, A-10, and just let's say Memphis.
Okay. All right, those kind of jobs. Like, jobs where it's realistic to make the tournament without having to, like, have a once-in-a-generation team. You know what I mean?
I would go great roster, good coach, because you're still saying a good coach. Now, if you were to say a horrible coach, I would have to think. But I would always go great roster, good coach. I think that's pretty good. I would go great roster, good coach. Because coaching is also, and I don't want to get technical with this, Jeffrey, but, like, if I ever get to talk to your dad, he would understand it, and you do, like, it's so many different ways of coaching, and a lot of time the public look at coaching and wonder, like, oh, if this guy run a lot of plays, he's a good coach. Well, coaching, it's like 10 different things you got to do. You got to, like, relationships with kids. You got to be a motivator. You know, you got to be an X and O. You know, it's so many different levels of coaches. So I would say great roster, good coach.
No, I'm with you because I bring this up because I'm looking at the Lane Kiffin situation. And someone that is going to get Lane Kiffin, whether it be Ole Miss, whether it be LSU, whether it be Florida or somebody else, they're going to pay somewhere between $13 and $15 million for his services. I do think Lane Kiffin is a difference maker as a offensive mind and as a coach. Like, I think you are seeing Ole Miss kind of bump up against its ceiling because they truly do have a great coach. But I'm also looking at it like, if I'm having to spend, like, realistically, if Lane goes to one of those other schools next year, at best, I'm thinking they're going 9-3. And it's like, LSU basically just fired Brian Kelly for going 9-3 and other reasons, but mainly that's it, is 9-3. And it's like, why did you just spend $58 million or you're trying to not spend $58 million and drag it into the courts and pay $13, $14 million for the same result when it's like, to me, I'm sitting there looking, I'm just more surprised that more schools are not doing what A&M did when they paid a hefty price to get rid of Jimbo. They went and get Mike Elko, good coach, very good coach. But he's not like, I don't think anyone's sitting there going like, this guy is a generational coach, and they built up the whole operation around him. It just surprises me that everyone is still focused on, we've got to go get like the name brand. Does this resonate with you? Do you think I'm off base?
No, you're on. I think what makes Lane more tougher, Jeffrey, is not that many name brands left.
I definitely think that's a part of it.
Yeah, because if you think about it, okay, when you talk about this off-air and on-air, how many people hated up until a year ago Ohio State coach? So it's one of them things where, like,
I'm still not sold.
I ain't gonna lie to you this all the time. I'm not sold, but I am. He's doing what he's supposed to do.
Correct.
So
I think he's doing.
He deserve everything.
I think this is gonna come across as wildly insulting to him, but I think of him in a similar fashion as I do Ryan Silverfield. I think he does fine. I just think he has the greatest job in the entire country.
But some people could mess that up, though.
Oh,
so that's why I gotta
people
give
have.
Because
John Cooper.
No disrespect to Ryan, he still is playing, although it might not be SEC, he's still playing the high. Now, although he has the best players, he's playing the highest level of still college football,
yep.
Right? And so I do, but when you say names, I was just showing you, like, he's not even named the only name. I mean, Franklin was considered a name, but now he going the opposite way. So the only names, and Nick Saban is retired, right? So when you think of just pure superstar coach names, right, not somebody who on the come up, the first two names that come to my head is Kirby Smart and Lane Kiffin, right? And then you start
probably Cignetti, right? Cignetti. I think Lanning is definitely a name.
Lanning had to build, but he had to build himself up, though. Lanning is becoming a name, but he's never really pretty much want to leave. Where is Toledi at again? Where is he at?
Cignetti's the Indiana coach.
He's building. But if you think about it, when you're talking about somebody who has already been established, like Georgia coach, Kirby came in the game and went to two national championships, right? So that automatically bumps him to a higher level. Lane Kiffin has been doing this for a while, guys. I mean, he's been an NFL coach. He's always been promoted. So when Lane Kiffin has always came with a little mess to him. I mean, Deion is considered just off of, like, name. But let's be real, he still doesn't get, like, I mean, in an ideal world, Jeffrey, and I'm changing it a little bit, I think if you give him a Ole Miss or Penn State somewhere with a lot of money and, like, players to him, I think he would be pretty good. You know, I think as much as noise they bring to Colorado is still just Colorado. You know what I'm saying?
No, the only question I have with Deion is health. But I do agree. Like, if he didn't have to generate his own NIL, I think Deion is pretty good at knowing who can and can't play. And I don't know. I've never really bought the whole, it was just Shador and Travis. It's like, I think there's a lot more that goes into it. But I am with you. Like, he took over a program that was 1-11.
Exactly. And we acting like he took over Oklahoma somehow. People on his butt. But to get back to Lane Kiffin, I think whoever take him, you have to invest like LSU. I don't think they ever would fire him because they're going to pay too much. I think LSU maybe be the best job, but with the right coach. We have seen, to me, with the right coach, I feel like Florida is phenomenal. We've seen them with Urban Meyer before where LSU went in the same ballpark. Now with NIL, though, some people think Ole Miss would be good regardless.
Well, that's the other thing. So this is the other thing. I think part of the Lane buzz, in fairness, I think part of it is, well, it's kind of coming from this place of like, Ole Miss is a crap job. He's a game away from the playoff. Like, he must be amazing. But I started counting it up. If you look at since he got there, 23 draft picks since the 2021 draft. Like, I think what is also getting left out of the equation is people are underrating the Ole Miss ability to build a roster compared to what, you know, was 10 years ago. And I think that it's like, my whole thing is, I do think Lane is a great coach. I also think Ole Miss's roster has been, like, wildly overlooked because the roster is pretty darn good. And he's going to have at least, I don't know, George, what? How many guys do you think probably get drafted off this team? I mean, probably.
I can think of
two receivers.
probably, I mean, measurables, you would think Stribling, Alexander's pretty good.
Probably two of the defensive linemen will be later picks, but
yeah.
I mean, I think it's hurt. I think it's possibly it's like another six or seven guys drafted. Now, are these first rounders? No, but it's going to be guys that get drafted.
Well, you're right. I think people forgetting this too, guys. That's not the same job before NIL. It's an SEC school. Like, even their basketball team, you know what I mean? And so, not to take away from Lane Kiffin, could Ole Miss been this good before NIL era with him? You know what I mean? And so I think you have to look into that. But I've been liking Lane. Like, even when he was at the Florida Isles, you know, I was
FAU, baby.
Yeah, I was like, Miami, get him. Or I want them to get the guy that died that went to Washington State and all that. I'm like, why are we not
Mike
getting
Leach.
These good people? Yeah, I love Lee. I'm like, why wouldn't he's doing all this at underrated schools? Why wouldn't his offensive mind? I'm tired of looking at what we're looking at. But Lane deserved to be in his position. But I do think it comes – I think if he leave Ole Miss, though, it puts pressure on him too, though. I feel like for the money that he will be making, that he will probably need to produce a national championship within 3 years.
Probably. Yeah,
that's LSU.
I mean, in
that's
the end, LSU. Like part of Kelly getting fired is every coach dating back to Saban within 3 years had won a national title.
Yeah, I think it's four years. But yes, he definitely. I even think at Florida he would have to do it Final Four or something three because that's a lot of money, coach. You're saying $13 to $15 million a year. That's something that you not. If you're paying somebody to bill, we can go get somebody else. And speaking of coach, you know who else became a superstar kind of overnight too? That's I think you would put him as a high flyer on everybody's list. And it's crazy. He's more liked than his head coach before him. Marcus Freeman is really loved right now in NFL locker rooms and college locker rooms. He is a notable name that has came out. Do you see that a lot too, Jeffrey?
I think if I were the AD, I think he – and, like, I'm going to have an open job. Like, I don't think he's ever leaving Notre Dame. Like, the only way I think he leaves Notre Dame is for the NFL, and I don't know how much NFL aspirations he has. I believe in him as much as anyone.
Yeah. Oh, he's another great coach. My bad. You know my favorite. I know we disagree on this. You know who else I love that I think – with an SEC job, he would be greater too.
Dabo?
You know I'm a Dabo guy. Yeah. You know
my problem with Dabo is not necessarily his coaching acumen. It's the stubbornness. And now he's starting to – now, I've always wondered this, though. And I think I can talk about this with you. A lot of – you know, he got made fun of a lot for the our kind of guys or we're not a portal and all of that. I do – my interpretation, and it would never get said out loud by them, but a lot of my interpretation of that was we don't have the money to go and spend against Texas, Ohio State, whatnot, and they thought that was their formula. Now, the bigger problem that I had with them is I always thought Clemson could still go into the portal some. It was the stubbornness, because part of, to me, it's like part of the greatness of Nick Saban is, do you really think Nick Saban enjoyed having to win those games 48-44? Like, I think that goes against every inch of his being of what football should look like. But he was sitting there going like, all right, if they're going to let linemen go 8 yards down the field and then you still can throw a pass off of it, like, I need to go figure out how to run this offense too. And then he goes and gets, you know, one of the greatest wide receiver classes we've ever seen with – Devontae, Judy, Ruggs, when there was another, I think there was a fourth. Devontae.
It was, but it was pretty good. Was that when Ruggs, was Lane Judy, the OC then?
No, Sark, Dable, and Dable was the first year off the title.
Sark is a superstar, too, in the coaching game, too. He's another one.
I want to say maybe it was Sark, Dable, back to Sark.
Okay. Yep, Sark, superstar.
There was a fourth receiver. Remember, they used to play rock, paper, scissors to see who would get the touchdown play? That was one of my all-time favorites. Like on the sidelines, there was the four guys would play rock, paper, scissors, and whoever won, they got to like run basically the touchdown play.
Was Ridley on that team?
Ridley, yes.
Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, I knew. I said Joe is going to come with it, Coach. I know he yeah.
May or may not have a computer in front of me, but you know.
Yeah, but I mean like, like Saban was willing to adapt and adjust. Like if – I've always wondered for how much of Dabo is stubbornness versus how much of it is – Clemson in this era can't compete at the level of the schools that have more money.
I think it's a little both. I think he put his foot in his mouth, like you said, when he tried to say our way and it's not working. It's just, and maybe he's not built for the NIL era, but it's just something I loved about, like, the dog he had when the SEC was dominating, and I felt Clemson, little old Clemson, even though it ain't little, he was like, prepared for Georgia and Alabama. I always respected Dabo for that. But two coaches that, Jeffrey, that I want to say that I would put, Dabo is a guy too, I would love to see him with bigger NIL money. But these other two coaches, now, I already said one, don't laugh at me. Deion is one, I would love to get a Big Ten or SEC job. But the other one would be, I just went crazy. My guy in North Carolina, like, I think if we give him a real football school with money, I think he would compete pretty good. I don't know. What's my guy in North Carolina?
Belichick?
Yeah, Belichick. I don't think.
Well, the problem is I am still willing to give him. The problem was he got the job late. And so he was obviously going to portal because that's what everybody's going to do. But because they got into the portal late, they were overspending, like, you know, they're basically beating out South Alabama for players, and I'm sitting there going like, wait a minute, this is not who you should be going after. But I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt that now that they'll have a full year and they'll have been in the portal with everybody else, if they can actually build a real ACC roster versus a Sun Belt roster playing in the ACC, I still think it's entirely possible. We realize, like, the coaching thing, it might translate.
For sure. And one SEC job, I got to say this too today, guys. I don't know how y'all feel about this, but I know you got to take the money. I do not think Arkansas is a good job in the SEC. I don't. I'm not hating. I get coaching can bring. But I just think everybody has went there that have left their mid-major job. Oh, even the guy from Wisconsin was a great coach, I think. Pretty good, let me say that.
No, I mean, look, he's in Illinois. Yes, they had a horrible loss last week, but I'm a Bielema guy. I think if the expectations to be really good, I think Bielema is capable of that. Now, like, should he have, like, the Ohio State jobs? Like, I don't know, but I totally agree with you in that sense.
Yes, and I just think Arkansas, with how competitive the SEC is, and the new Lance, I don't think that's a good job. And it's almost getting to the point that hurt me saying this because I used to secretly cheer for them, although I'm a Miami guy. But when it came to the SEC, I used to like LSU at Del Valle. But I used to secretly cheer for Auburn a little bit. I like the Cadillac Williams. I like the Cam. But I'm not sure how great of a job that is anymore either.
Well, I mean, it's fascinating because on the one front, if Lane does leave Ole Miss, there are people that will tell you John Summerall would rather have the Ole Miss job than the Auburn job. Like, now, is that John Summerall's agent doing a really good job and getting a bidding war going? It's entirely possible. I'm not sitting there ruling that out. But I do know this. For whatever reason, Lane Kiffin in 2022 could have had the Auburn job or the Ole Miss job, and he chose the Ole Miss job.
Yeah, it's something about the Auburn and Ames, am I wrong? Auburn.
So I think it's a couple of things. I think it's a couple of things. Number one, I think Auburn was much more built for the under the table era.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number two, while Alabama is not peak Saban machine maxed out, Alabama is still operating at a very high level, and then you factor in, Auburn really has never had points in time in which Georgia was maxed out efficiently and Alabama was. But basically since 2016, that's kind of been the case. And then you throw in Clemson, like, you know, a school that was very dependent on Atlanta for players. Like, well, Georgia's locking it up. And now Clemson was getting a few guys here and there. Like, you were always going to struggle in state against Alabama. You'd get your share of wins, but you weren't going to win the majority of them. And so now you have this fan base that has seen national championships. And you're going up against Alabama and Georgia operating close to peak efficiency, and you don't have the same resources.
No, you're right. You're right. And that's why I always say with that Auburn job, I know they don't have as much as Alabama. I think a school like that to make a big wow could be like a Dion or a Belichick. You know what I mean? Like, I think they have nothing to lose to Auburn.
I will be interested to see what their plan B is. If John Summerall, like, for instance, if I'm advising Florida, I'm telling them I don't think you're getting Kiffin, so I would basically try to swoop and get Summerall before someone else does. Basically tell Summerall, like, hey, here's the gig. You've got 48 hours or we're moving on. And then Summerall's going to have to sit there and go, like,
Summerall so high, Jeffrey, not to cut you off. Was Auburn great this year or something? Because I don't remember
so Summerall,
like, a lot of great things.
Let me say this. You and I might be alone, but I think you're asking the right questions. Here would be the explanation. He has SEC bona fides, played at Kentucky, has worked throughout the SEC, good recruiter, good public persona. Like, you know, he's pretty good with media, whatnot. But basically what's happened is, like, he is a kid from Alabama that played linebacker in the SEC with some charisma, and he coached in the SEC, so everyone has just deemed that he's the next Pat Dye.
Oh, okay.
He's kind of, it's like,
okay.
Did you watch wrestling in the 90s?
Oh, I love that when I was young. I love wrestling in the 90s and the early 2000s.
It might be a little bit before our time, but I never had the Ultimate Warrior gene. Essentially, it was just decided that the Ultimate Warrior was going to be a star by either Vince or Hogan, whoever. Like, they just decided he's going to be the guy. Didn't really work out, but, like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, I guess the flip side of it is, like, they shoved Roman Reigns down our throat. Although, I always argued the problem with Roman was not Roman Reigns. It was selling him as a babyface. The guy wearing a bulletproof vest that was literally a bad guy, selling us to him as the new Cena. It's like, no, just make him this awesome monster. And it's like that, but it's kind of that where it's like, it's just been decided and it's groupthink. With that being said, he could be a good coach. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't know.
But let me ask you this. Why wouldn't people be on, like, although I know he don't have the roster and money, but don't you think, I think before 2 years ago, everybody was on, why they not on Stoops anymore from Kentucky? He has a family gene. I think with a bigger NIL and better school, he would be pretty good.
So, it's basically he was so successful at Kentucky that it kind of made him stuck at Kentucky. And here's why I say that. Initially, when A&M fired Jimbo, the search was going to go to Stoops. To the point in which he had a social media thank you Kentucky I'm leaving post. Well, when A&M's board got into the meeting and said, wait a minute, we just spent $75 million to tell Jimbo to not coach our team anymore, and now we're going to have to go spend $50 million just to get Mark Stoops, and then we're going to have to pay him another $60 million, whereas we can go get Mike Elko. It doesn't even cost us half the money, and we think he's a good, solid football coach. Let's go do that. Stoops, like, he's now at the point where he's, like, making $9, $10 million. So to go get him, you got to spend all this money, and it's kind of, like, priced him out of the market. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like the housing market, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of good houses that's sitting.
Yeah.
I see.
All right, Coach. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Same to you guys. Thank you.
That is Coach Hurd. our basketball coach, your basketball coach, everyone's basketball coach, also Team Thad's basketball coach. We come back, Tigers take on Southern Illinois tonight. Jason Munns joins us next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Follow him on the Everything app at Munsley. Make sure you also go listen, subscribe to the Commercial Appeal Tiger Athletics podcast. Latest one is available now. Joins us each and every Wednesday. Munns, what are we listening to?
This is the extremely great Thin Lizzy. Do anything you want to do.
Not The Boys Are Back in Town, even though it sounds like it's in the same key.
Yeah, I know. No, it's definitely got that that vibe to it, but it is not that. It's Do Anything You Want to Do, which I think is a great great sentiment as we gear up for the holidays.
All right, so let's explore one of the questions that you asked on the podcast, or a topic that you discussed, because I am not in the business of saying, like, 1-4, like, let's look for moral victories. I guess the way that I would phrase it, and see if you agree with this, other than the UNLV performance, I've yet to see a performance, and against teams that I think are probably, maybe San Francisco's not a fringe tournament team, but all the rest are either tournament teams or fringe tournament teams, and I've not seen a performance where I go, this team stinks. But weirdly, I feel like these next two games are more significant data for me than the last two were, because these are the games that have concerned me about this team. It's these games where they don't show up with the opponent on the floor.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, like, not all 1-4s are created equal. That's kind of where I have landed after five games, after being there and watching all five regular season games. Now, that's not to say that there's not cause for concern. I mean, I also, you know, as much as I was there for the five regular season games, I was also there for the two exhibition games. And I don't think we should completely discount that. I mean, you know, exhibition season is what it is, but I don't think we should completely discount it. It is part of the, at the very least, it's part of the conversation. But no, outside of that UNLV game, I mean, you know, like, listen, teams lay eggs, like they just do. I mean, we see it practically every single night so far this season. That being said, I realize there's only been one unranked team to beat a ranked team so far this season, so there hasn't been that much anarchy, but there has been a lot of upsets, a lot of examples of the epitome of brutality so far. I mean, for heaven's sakes, just look no further than Starkville, Mississippi the other night,
yeah,
where the bullies got bullied for basically 35 minutes by the University of New Orleans. Now, obviously, New Orleans has beaten TCU, and they beat Tulane by 3 touchdowns. Like, we can talk about that either probably next week, I would think. But New Orleans is legit. Like, they're very dangerous. But getting back to the original point, I think you're absolutely right that what happens tonight and what happens next Wednesday against New Orleans will, especially now that all those other games are in the rearview mirror, the Bahamas is behind us now, those two games are going to tell us a lot more about this team than perhaps those games did. Like, because we've seen it time after time after time after time now in the eighth season of the Penny Hardaway era. Penny knows how to get his teams up for number one Purdue. He knows how to get his teams up for a road game at Ole Miss. Doesn't mean he's always going to win them, but like they're very, very seldom do they get handled. No matter who they're playing, whether it's Auburn in Hawaii last year. I mean, I think that ended up being a 14 point game or something like that, but it was competitive. Much like the Purdue game was as well. But
and the moment in time they were playing Auburn was operating, and obviously that's a team that goes to the Final Four, but because Auburn had so much returning production, like, they were operating at such a high level at that point. Like, there was nothing about that performance to me that was, like, alarming.
No, and you know, but, like, to be fair, though, I mean, I think this Purdue team is...
Yes, very much in the same thing, yeah.
In the same conversation, like on the same level as Auburn was last year in Hawaii. I just don't think Purdue played particularly well. Now, part of that has credit to Memphis. Memphis frustrated that team, like to the way that I'm not sure very, very many teams have in the
Texas Tech sure didn't.
No, I mean, like Memphis led. Think about this. Memphis led, I forget exactly how long it was, I think 16 minutes of that game, which is twice as long as Alabama ever led that Purdue team in Tuscaloosa. And Memphis led by as many as 9 points, and Alabama never led by that much. So not saying that Memphis is Alabama, but certainly, like, what we learned in the Bahamas, one of the things that we learned is that Memphis belongs on the floor. You know, when they're fully engaged and when they are, you know, when they're doing their thing, they belong on the floor with anybody. But no, you're 100% right that I think that these next two games, the one against Southern Illinois tonight and the one against New Orleans next Wednesday, are going to go a lot further to telling us what this team actually is capable of than what we saw. Than what we've seen so far this year.
I suppose also in this entire topic, baked in is, what were your expectations? And I guess the way that I looked at it was, I knew given their non-conference schedule, they would have the chance to be a at-large team, but I always just felt like the best path for this team to get back to the tournament was going to be the best team in a league where I think it's completely reasonable, and I think the expectation of you being the best team in the league is a completely reasonable expectation. I guess that's kind of where I keep finding myself when I'm watching them. It's that I still think they're okay. I do acknowledge one of the issues, though, is, okay, if you just keep taking losses and you don't use it as motivation and build on it, like, does that create the situation where a team gets into conference play and just can't get it on the rails? Like, that's kind of where I still am with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I think that you're more than fair in that assessment. It is sort of a tricky situation now. By losing that game to Wake Forest, you've made it a little bit more of a sense of urgency going forward to, you know, because like you can only lose so much. I don't care how close it is.
Yes, totally agree.
I don't care how you know who you're going up against, whatever. Like you can only lose so much before it starts to really do some damage to even probably the most mentally strong team that there is. And I mean, you know, we don't exactly know yet, you know, what this team is made of as far as that goes. But I think most people would agree that Memphis should have won that game against Wake Forest. There were some breakdowns and some bad decisions and some bad indecisions at the end of that game in the last 15 seconds that cost them that victory. But by all accounts, including Wake Forest head coach Steve Forbes, Memphis should have won that game. And so it becomes even more urgent, more imperative that Memphis does start to stack some wins so that they don't have to go into conference play with the pressure of we have to dominate. Now, that being said, I still think that if they can, like even if they don't pick up a win or two or three here on the back half of their non-conference schedule, even if they don't, I still think this team is capable of dominating the American, especially as they continue to build chemistry and cohesion and depth. I mean, like that was one of my biggest takeaways from the Bahamas is like, you know, Penny talked all offseason about how, you know, this is one of the deepest teams that he's had. And boy, Tariq Ingram looks like he's now a rotation option. William Wharton looks like a guy that now you can count on for more than what he was giving you before you went to the Bahamas, which was absolutely nothing. He had not played a single minute before going to the Bahamas. And then all of a sudden you look up against Wake Forest and he's playing 18 minutes and giving you some really good moments. And so I still think that this team and it goes to your point that you were just talking about, like there is that sort of caveat there though, that while they're still capable of going into American play and dominating, you do need some positive results here pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, I made the somewhat joke. It's like, I do actually think it's kind of the test of, you know, Penny's adage of, are they losses or lessons? Like, if they really are lessons and you can start to use it as like, okay, we're getting better, but we have to stop tolerating losing, then I can see where this is all good for them because these are experienced basketball teams. These are good, solid teams. But the question will be is like, does the losing take its toll? But to your point, I hadn't really thought about it like this. Even if they wind up not getting over the hump in non-conference play, can the fact that they get to conference play and now there is no excuse, it is like the urgency matters. Like, could that be a factor? It's like, that's an interesting thought experiment as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, it all goes back to the point you brought up in the very beginning. Like as much as we, and what I was talking about, as much as we know, based on what we've seen from Penny Hardaway and his teams in the past 7+ years now, they never have any trouble getting up for the big games. And, if this team is going to be different, if this team is going to be, if this team is going to make it stand out, be distinct, be unique from all other Penny Hardaway teams, they're going to have to start proving that tonight. They didn't get up for UNLV the other day or whatever, how long ago it was.
A week from Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, yeah, a little over a week. They got to start doing it now, and they should, if they are able to do it, they better hang on to it, because as we all know, once you get to American play, it's going to be, you're going to have to do it every single night, and it's going to be just as hard as it is. It's going to be just as hard to get up for those games as it is to, actually fight against number one Purdue.
Are we going to see Hassan Abdul-Hakim tonight?
I think so. I think he'll be available. Everything that I was told by multiple people within the program was that not only was he, and this is what Penny said on the record after the game, but not only was he the plan, not only is he over his injury, his lingering quad injury that's been bothering him for so long. He was over it. He was going to play, but they got down there and he got sick, and not just sort of tummy ache sick. Apparently it was not, it was
both
in
sick.
He wasn't even on the bench, that kind of sick.
Quarantine sick.
Yeah. I saw him. I saw him when I was leaving the Bahamas on Saturday. The team flew out of the same gate that I did, just one plane ahead of me. And so I saw everybody and I saw him, but that was the first time I saw him all week. He was tucked away, getting well. My understanding is he is healed up and feeling better. And I think they're, at the very least, he'll be available.
How do you power rank the Bahamar versus Atlantis? Atlantis is bigger, right?
You mean the gym?
I'm saying the whole resorts. I know you may didn't stay at both of them, but it's when you're on the grounds, how did they compare?
Yeah, I think Atlantis is a little more sprawling, but I think they're, as far as the facilities, I think the facilities are comparable. Atlantis is older, Bahamar is newer. I guess I'm partial to Bahamar for a couple of reasons. This is the second time I've stayed there. If you recall, Jeffrey, the first time mm-hmm. I stayed there, I talked to you.
Yep.
And Giannotto.
Yep. And I made Drew get you drunk.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say it, but mm-hmm. yes.
This was me.
Yeah. When I got there, mm-hmm. That was one of the first things I did. I walked right to that spot and I was like, oh, this is what a crazy just sort of way the universe works that I was ever there in the first place, but then able to be back there a second time. It was kind of crazy, but yes, I'm kind of partial to Bahamar because it's the second time I've been there. And then, I didn't actually stay at Atlantis. Now I went on property and stuff, but, I didn't actually stay there, but yeah, I don't know. I thought the, Atlantis tournament probably had a little more juice to it just because there was more teams. You had Michigan there and you had Arkansas there and trying to think of what North Carolina, I think, was there as well.
Nova, right?
Yeah, obviously Villanova. So, nothing against Purdue and Texas Tech and Wake Forest. It felt like the battle for Atlantis, there was more fans and everything else. It was the thing with the Bahamar this past week was there was Purdue fans and then there was everybody else. It was not even close. Purdue brought practically all of Indiana, it felt like, to the Bahamas, and man, did they make themselves known. Like it was, they were everywhere and they were loud. Good for them. They're number one in the country.
Yeah, because that was, my wife asked me, we were watching it, she's like, who goes to this? And I was like, well, I mean, it's not exactly like you have to twist my arm. Like, obviously, you and I, we're probably priced out, but I was like, if I'm somebody that's rooting on the Boilermakers, like, that's not really a tough sell. Like, hey, you want to leave the Midwest and go to the Bahamas in November? It's like, yeah, I think I'd probably swing that. But, like, that was the other thing we couldn't decide was, how many people did that gym actually hold? By the way, did it smell like chicken tenders? Because we just kept thinking, like, when you walked in, like, it just looked like it smelled like Sodexo, like, food service food.
I didn't. That didn't stand out to me. But it was not, you know, what's interesting is not the same ballroom that Memphis played all those busboys in.
Oh, yeah.
6 years ago. It was not the same ballroom. It was the same building, but not the same ballroom. Nothing like tickled my sense of smell while I was there, but it still was good. It wasn't good and that Atlantis is, it just didn't quite stack up to Atlantis. I didn't feel like,
well, that's the other thing that I've been wondering about is, what is the fate of these other tournaments? Because even if you've watched Maui this week, I mean, you know, first off, the number one thing that's confusing is they're now doing the Southwest Maui Invitational, but it's almost like I wish it would be the Southwest Airlines Maui Invitational, because when I keep hearing Southwest Maui Invitational, it's like, is it just like on the southwest corner of the island? Like, is that island really big enough to like have directional coordinates? Like, I was confused by that. But then you start looking at it, and now, hey, once everyone found out that the checks did clear last year from the Players Era Fest or whatever we're calling it, it's like now they're expanding it to 32, and it seems like everybody's wanting to get in on that. It's like, I just wonder, like, what is the fate of all these tournaments? Because, like, you can.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.